This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
Put some respect on the New York Knicks, like factual.
Right now, if I had a vote, he's got to be on one of the three teams.
Back to Randle. Wing right three at the shot clock. Buzzer! Buried it, and that might have been the dagger for Julius Randle.
They're still one of the better defensive teams in the league.
They've won in the most difficult way in the NBA, by defense.
You cannot get enough. It has been a ridiculously amazing season for the New York Knicks, and it just continues. It's Bart and Hahn on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline. Chris Carlin in for Alan Hahn. Bartholomew Randle Scott, as in Julius.
Julius.
The MVP, Julius Randle.
He's going to get a Gaylord Fokker ribbon. He's going to get the ninth place trophy, but he's deserving. But the
I told you this discussion was going to heat up, and this discussion is heating up.
I mean, but the fact that he's even, you know, in the mention of it is, to me, I think is something to be said about his dedication, what he's done, because he is the guy on this team, and he's the guy that gets him going. You hear Derrick Rose talking, hey, when Randle's coming down, what he's learning, right, is what all great players learn. They learn when to take over, when to facilitate. They learn to fill the game out, right? It's kind of like what Jordan said, right? When they were talking about Jordan, when Doug Collins was talking about Jordan, like, man, you have to get your guys involved. You have to build their confidence up. And when it's time for you to be great, go be great. But if you don't get your teammates involved and make them feel like they're a part of this and this isn't a one-man show, that's the difference in what he did this year opposed to what he did last year. Last year, he was still putting up decent numbers, but he was taking ill-advised shots. But now he's been more efficient, and he's understood how to manage a game. Much like Chris Paul manages a game, he's a point forward, and he's managing the game, and he's allowing everybody else to be comfortable in their skin. And to that, I tip my hat off to him. You know, but, you know, they win, and when we had this clip, when they talk about they win in the hardest way possible, they win with effort, right? And that's why I have confidence when they go on this four-game run or this West Coast trip that you don't want to see teams late in the season when you're fatigued, when you're tired, when you're trying to rest, when you're trying to load manage for the playoffs. This ain't the team you want to see, man, because they're going to play physical. They're going to get you with effort. And a lot of their points are effort plays, right? Derrick Rose, great defense yesterday with the steal. Get into the basket late in the game. They just grind you out. And it's the worst possible opponent that you want when you have any type of fatigue or any type of ailing elements. So that hat goes off, right, when you say, you know, go back to remember the Titans, attitude reflects leadership. Well, their attitude reflects Tom Thibodeau and the ability to say, understand that, listen, defense is free, right? It doesn't take talent. It takes will and want to and discipline. And that's what this Knicks team has.
Well, this is West Coast. This West Coast trip that's coming up, they've already started two games of this road trip with wins. But now it's out west. It's the Nuggets, the Suns, the Clippers,
they play the varsity.
And the Lakers.
Now they got the varsity.
Exactly. And I do think you bring up an excellent point in that you are going to have teams that are not necessarily going to want to go up against that. But Randle deserves this discussion.
He does.
He absolutely does. And, Bart, you and I have had this discussion before. I always believe in the truest definition of most valuable player.
Yes.
It's not best player.
Yes.
It's most valuable player to a team's success. Here was Randle last night on whether or not he belongs in the MVP discussion.
For sure. I'm not going to shy away from it. But for me, it's about getting better from game to game, improving as a player. You know, I'm not focused on it. You know, the praise obviously is great and everything. I'm not focused on it, but for me, I'm not worried about just keeping better, keep leading the team from game to game because, you know, like I said before, our team, I feel like we can compete against anybody. So that's what it's about.
You know,
was he talking to a Bob Barker mic? What kind of mic he got in front of him, man?
Well, at the same time, though, you can hear him say, yeah, I belong there. I belong in that discussion. And this is Straight Talk brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless because he just brought it right there, and he's not wrong.
Yeah.
And here's one thing that I think really gets overlooked. You spent a few minutes there talking about all of the defense. The Knicks have really improved offensively.
Yeah.
You look at the last 14 games. The Knicks, look.
Three-point shooting.
Exactly. The Knicks over the course of the season, right now, are fourth in the league in three-point shooting.
Yeah.
Which is ridiculous when you consider
because they got no pure shooters.
And he's the reason why.
Yeah.
This is a guy that went from 27 last year to 42, 43 this season. And not only that, all right, they're only going to score 107 points a game when you look at the stats. This is why stats lie sometimes.
Yeah.
Over the last 15 games, they're well over that average. They're up around 117, 118 right. per game. They are only getting better through the course of the year offensively.
Well, and their games are always going to be, it's crazy as you call like 104, like a great defensive night.
Oh, 10 years ago, that would lead the league.
Exactly. But nowadays, like 104, because the game is so wide open and so much great spacing and great shooters, that the, you know, 104 means that they grind it out, right? Because they don't allow as many possessions because they don't give you the cheap ones. They don't give you turnovers, and they damn sure don't give you transition points. So, you know, that's a way to win. That's a strategy, right? You know, but it's tough. It's going to be tough for him to get the votes because you can argue right now. It's like he's not flashy, right?
No.
And so it's not flashy. He goes down, you know, he shoots an 18-footer. He bangs you up, you know what I mean? Bangs you down, goes to the left hand. With what Steph is doing, that's flashy, right? And just think, Golden State is only four games behind, right? And Steph set a record, right? Never been done before, 85 threes in a month, right? And he continues to put on a show, but you give Steph more credit because he's little, right? So he's like the little guy. Like, oh, look at this little guy amongst these trees just throwing up stuff. Look at this. Zion, whoopsies! You know, and I mean, that was crazy yesterday. I mean, shout out to the NBA for the old Marvels thing because they're trying to cater to a younger fan base. And I think mission accomplished, but it wasn't my thing.
Yeah.
But if you look at a guy like Steph and what he's doing, look at that. He's amongst trees and he's just throwing up shots. It's beautiful, right? He gets style points. And then, listen, Russell Westbrook is probably the most underappreciated star in the history of basketball. I mean, this guy, again, another triple-double, 24 assists, 20 rebounds. It's only been done like four times, and he's two of them.
The only word that continues to come up as a knock of him is inefficient. And
yes.
I hate that word.
Yeah.
I hate that word when it comes to him because he is such a dynamic player. But here's the interesting part of that, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Knicks were part of that Russell Westbrook discussion at the beginning of the year. But they went in a different direction, and they went and got Derrick Rose because they needed some offensive help.
And a trust.
So when you watch how that has played out, I wonder if the Knicks would be in this same position if Westbrook was here as opposed to Derrick Rose. Because as we know, I mean, you listen to Tom Thibodeau talk about Derrick Rose, and you know the impact that he has on this
team. And that's the great value in him, whether he was the MVP of the league at 22 or – you know, 10 years later, he's the same guy. He's always been a team first guy, and winning's always at the forefront. He's always been a great teammate. He's happy when other people have success. He's most happy when the team wins. Whether he scores 2 points or he scores 20 points, he's the same guy. And he's doing it a lot of different ways. I think, you know, and I've mentioned this many times, if you look at his net rating, pro 48, when he's on the floor, what he's done with us is pretty remarkable. So, you know, he adds a lot of value to winning, as does Taj. Our vets have been phenomenal for us. When you look at, you know, what Alec and Reggie have done, along with Alford, it's just you need that type of performance to be a winning team.
It's not just the offense. It's the fact that Rose goes out there every night, assesses the situation. What do we need? That's what I'm going to give us.
And yesterday, that steal late in the show, and them keeping their composure when you look at the technical foul, you look at, you know, Ja getting two technicals, them staying composed, even when he believed he was fouled. I know he had a little bit of a mini temper tantrum, but, you know, he's still been super super productive. You talk about 27 minutes, 25 points, a plus 16, Chris. I mean, you talk about that's the model definition of efficient, right? He went out and he did his thing. And you talk about the humility. He doesn't mind coming off the bench. He understands now in his career where he is. He can't dominate like he used to, but he's still a very, very good, crafty player, and he's become a great veteran to have on his team, a great role model for guys like Quickley. And listen, they're going to be a tough out, right? And listen, we're not measuring their success by if they win a championship, if they win a playoff series. I think with them exceeding expectations, what they have done is opened the door wide open to everybody in the league and said, hey, it is safe to come. It is safe to come and it's safe to be part of the Knicks. They have a plan. They have a culture. They have a commitment to winning, and they have the people making the right strategic moves where they're not going to be fleeced. They're not going to make some type of crazy move. That's why they didn't go out and get Westbrook, because they understood that, yes, he could be great for us. He does play like we play. He's a hardworking player. He facilitates. He brings it on both ends of the court. But that contract can hurt us later at the end of it, at the back end of it. And because he's often injured and he plays so violently, you get concerned about his long-term health. And his game doesn't age well because he's not a great, efficient shooter. He spoke after his game about, you know, his struggles early in the season was based on his quad, tearing his quad, and he tore quad last year. So once you see players that play that violently breaking down, you don't want to invest in that long-term.
Speaking about a player that was not on the court last night because of the back-to-back, that's LeBron, but it didn't matter because the Lakers got one that they absolutely needed in the worst way. And credit AD, because he made plays on both ends of the floor last night when they needed it down the stretch of a game against a team that's won 17 of the last 21. I mean, we know the season that the Nuggets have had, but that was one last night where, you know, a night after LeBron's complaining about the play-in.
Right. Yeah. You know? How crazy is that? But then he's like, whoever did that should be fired. That would be Jeannie Buss. You want to fire your boss? You can't fire your boss, LeBron. I know you're powerful, but you can't fire your boss.
And your boss never thought you'd be in this position.
Exactly. And last year, like, he flip-flopped so much. I mean, he's the definition of, like, you know, a guy that worries about when it's only affecting him. Like the world revolves around him. Like last year, he applauded it, right? The opportunity to get people in. He just never in 1,000 years, you know, envisioned himself there. And what about Schroeder? You know, Schroeder, whatever his name is. You know, it's going to take, you know, Herculean effort, because remember, people was talking about when Anthony Davis first got hurt, how they were losing games, it was because Schroeder wasn't there as well. And that puts more on LeBron to have to facilitate, and it doesn't allow him to take breaks because he has to be the constant creator. So, listen, we'll see. We'll see. And maybe the Knicks get him at the right time.
But I have to tell you, I am losing faith in the Lakers.
Oh, yeah.
Losing big faith in the Lakers. Can you imagine a scenario where LeBron has to go play a 7-8 game and here's Steph lighting them up for 48.
Like, yo!
And then all of a sudden they lose the game and then they're just playing to stay in the playoffs, period, in the loser of the 9-10 game or the winner of the 9-10 game.
Yeah, you talk about the fatigue, right? Because, listen, LeBron right now, that ankle's not going to get healthy. Listen, a high ankle sprain does not get healthy until the next year. This is something he's going to deal with, and it's going to be about pain management. And the more people get up into LeBron, the more people bump LeBron, the more people are physical with him. I know he's a physical freak, but you got to get physical with him, right? You have to lean on that ankle. You want to put it and torque it where it's aggravated, where it inflames, right? Knowing that, could you imagine if he can't play a back-to-back now, he's going to be forced to have to play back-to-backs because now the traveling is in. They're not in a bubble where there's no traveling, where you can go get treatment. You're going to be in a plane. You talk about, you know, flying in a plane. When you have those type of swelling elements, you got to put the sleeve on to keep the inflammation out, to try and keep it down. It's going to be an all-on 24-hour job when you talk about getting into the playoffs and teams. If I'm Pip teams, I'm flagrant fouling them. I'm doing what the Pistons did to Scottie Pippen when he had the migraines. I am going to physically beat the hell out of him. You got 5 fouls. We're using all of them on LeBron. And we're going to get physical with him. We're going to contest him in the air. No free layups. No free, like, oh, free, oh, he's LeBron. We're going to respect him. And then he got an open layup. No, we're contesting everything.
Now, look, it's LeBron. And I know when AD gets added to the mix and they win a championship, okay, we understand what that combination is. But here's really what I want to know. Because you listen to AD after the game last night. He does it on both ends. He makes big plays when he needs to. Is AD going to be good enough to virtually be close to the lead guy in this kind of a situation? Here's AD last night.
We knew they were going to big fella, Jokic. You know, he's been scoring all game, making tough plays, making great passes. He's a hell of a passer. And they got Campazzo, who's right there, who can really shoot the ball. I think Mark got screened to our guard, who was guarding Campazzo, went out and tried to help on Jokic. And I had Aaron Gordon, who's a who's a great cutter from the corners and a great offensive rebounder. So I just tried to play two and see where the ball go, and it went to Campazzo, and I just tried to run out, get a contest. Good thing is he's a shorter guy, so the ball has to come from further down. So I was able to get a piece of it and get the stop for a big-time win for us, man. I mean, we've been struggling. We've been in a funk. But, you know, we stayed together. We stayed together, stayed the course, and missing two key guys, DS and Bron, you know, the next man up mentality, and we're able to get this win for a team who's been playing red hot.
All right, you can win a game like that, AD.
Yeah.
Can you win a series? And I'm not saying without LeBron. I'm saying with perhaps a significantly hampered LeBron.
Right.
Where AD has to be the main guy.
I mean, he's been the main guy before. And, you know, remember with the Pelicans, he went out, they won a series. But this is a different thing, different expectations. And they are the hunted. People have been waiting and loading up. Everybody in the Western Conference built their team to be able to match up with the Lakers, right? That's why they went out and got Gordon, right? Because they wanted an athletic big that can cut, that can make AD work on the other end. They went out and got Serge Ibaka because last year, I think really where the Lakers are being hurt, and it's crazy, because people probably won't see what I'm talking about, is that Dwight Howard is gone.
Yeah.
Dwight Howard last year and McGee gave them tremendous minutes, right? And it allowed Anthony
Davis. And they were
Davis,
shocked he was gone. They thought they had the handshake deal.
Well, you know, you can't trust Dwight Howard or anything. You know, this guy, you know, all right, I ain't mind going to go there. But you know what I mean? Like, they're missing the bigs. They thought Montrezl Harrell was going to be an upgrade. But he's a big guy that plays small. He's got it cuts. He gets his shot blocked, and he hasn't lived up to the expectations of what they thought. You know, former sixth man of the year, he hasn't been able to perform like they would think. It's not about how good he is. It's about how he mixes with the group. And I thought Dwight Howard and McGee understood their role. They came in. They played hard, but they were able to be able to get the big. So now Anthony Davis, when he goes sit down, now they got no rim protection. You know, with McGee and with Dwight Howard, they had rim protection. They don't have that rim protection now, and they're desperately missing a big man, and you hope to get that from Drummond. But Drummond's coming there, and he's hurt every other day. Like, dude, you never played in Cleveland. Why the hell are you always damn hurt? You should have been the freshest man on the league. You should have been playing like – you should be fresh legs.
The NBA Talk is Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. And Bart – in just a little while, we're going to talk to Jets GM Joe Douglas about what they did over the weekend. Looking forward to hearing from him at the top of next hour. But the story continues to be around Aaron Rodgers in the NFL.
Aaron.
And where he's going to end up. Because can we just be frank? Brian Gutekunst can come out and say he's not trading them all he wants.
Yeah.
You don't have a choice.
Right.
You don't have a choice. You could talk about he doesn't have a no trade. He's got the MVP trade.
Exactly.
In other words, he's going to determine where he's going to go. So there have been different thoughts out there about the teams that he would end up with. And one thing I can't get past, it's one thing if it's the 49ers.
Yeah.
I would understand not wanting to trade him there.
Right.
But not trading him at all in the NFC, I don't think that needs to be a factor for the Packers for two reasons. Mm-hmm. Number one, if you're trading Aaron Rodgers, you're not winning in the short term.
Right.
You're not. Number two, you need to get the best deal possible back for Aaron Rodgers.
That's true.
And it should not matter whether that's the Broncos or, you know, if the Giants are on his list, like some people have suggested they are.
I'm not trading him to the Giants.
Well, if they're giving you, what if they gave you two number ones that they just got next year?
It don't matter.
And a number three?
No.
Why not?
No, hell no.
I have to get the best deal that I can.
I'm sending him to the AFC. And I can't.
If I'm getting significantly less?
I can't. Listen, you know he is going to eat you up like barbecue chicken for the next 3 to 4 years. At least you get an opportunity.
I'm not shipping him to the Vikings like Favre wanted. And by the way, he ended up going to the Vikings the next year anyway.
Well, look at Donovan McNabb. Why did he want to go to the Vikings? Because he wanted to specifically ruin the chances of that football team, Green Bay Packers. So I'm sending his ass to the AFC. I hope I never see you again.
If Tijuana had a team, that's what you would say.
Yeah, exactly. The Jaguars are moving to London pretty soon. I'm pretty sure. You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to get him as far as hell away from me as possible. I don't want to see him. I don't want to have
a game. So you don't care about the package at that point. I mean, you're going to get something,
but
you're not going to get
it is set up
close to what you should.
It is set up. First of all, we know that John Gruden hates Derek Carr. He can say what he wants. That is an arranged marriage. He's been wanting to get rid of him, and he's been playing at a high enough level where John Gruden, and he's cheap enough, where John Gruden should be like, you know what, he's fine. He's $25 million a year. He's good. He's not far. I mean, he's not Aaron Rodgers. He's not Tom Brady. But then he's not Kirk Cousins. He's better. He's somewhere in between. And listen, for some reason, he doesn't like that marriage. Every year we try and figure out when are they going to cut ties or try and find an upgrade when it's available. He flirted with Mariota, hoping Mariota can come there because he always loved Mariota. So I'm going to use John Gruden, his 10-year contract, knowing that he can do whatever he wants. He's not going nowhere, and he'll give up a bunch. Who was the last team that gave up two first-round draft picks for a disgruntled guy that said, hey, I'm not playing here no more? It was the Raiders that gave it up for Carson Palmer, gave up two number ones, right? So, listen, I'm going to use that, and then I'm like, Denver, hey, John, you know you can't pick a quarterback. You got to get some refurbished one. You might as well come get this great one, because guess what? In that division, they know that the only thing that you can say is not greater or less than Mahomes, but equal to is A-Rod. And the same magic juice that Patrick Mahomes has, Aaron Rodgers can do that and more. He finds it laughable that he's the first that Mahomes is the first one to throw a no-look pass. That Mahomes is the first person to throw sidearm. He's like, really? Really? Y'all must have forgot. Here's that MVP for you. You know, have that. That's not one, that's two. So if you talk about that, you're going to have a bidding war, because the team within the AFC West that don't pick A-Rod, now you got to see A-Rod. You already got Herbert, who's creeping up in there. So if I'm them, you're going to get a bidding war, and you're going to be able to get more, because you're going to pick two teams. You don't need one bidder. You need two. You have two within the same division, because if you don't get him, you got to see him. And if he goes to either one of them teams, your team, which you may think was number two in the division, automatically drops down. So A-Rod is the only thing that's equal to or greater than Patrick Mahomes.
If I'm trading Aaron Rodgers, I'm rebuilding anyway.
Not really. They have a team ready to win. Listen, if they're in that division and Aaron Rodgers isn't in that division.
Has Jordan Love taking a snap?
So tell me this. If Aaron Rodgers isn't in that division, they still, and they get a great haul back. Listen, I don't want just picks. I want a player too.
Okay.
Right. So I'm taking one of your best players. You know what I'm saying? I'm taking either your best running back, your best corner, your best receiver. You're giving me something for that. So if I get that, I'm cool, because in that division, I got Justin Fields and QB1. I got Jared Goff and biting ankles and Achilles tendons. I got Kirk Cousins, which is a true definition of 500 Fisher, 8-8 man. I'm not afraid of that, not with the rest of the team I have in Green Bay. Remember, that's a great roster. And if you can have a quarterback and win ugly, because defensively, they're stacked.
Do you think that they would change the Jeff Fisher holiday from July 9th, since he was always 7-9, to July 10th, since he would be 7-10 now?
Exactly.
I wonder if they would.
They're changing it unofficially.
Well, up next, what would Aaron Rodgers be worth if the picks from this coming year's draft would be a big part of a package, and the team that came out of the weekend winning? We get the answer from the definitive voice. It's Bart and Hahn on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Bart and Hahn.
How about them Cowboys? Woo! And with the 12th pick, the Dallas Cowboys select Micah Parsons.
How would you explain what this moment is like for you?
This moment is so big. Like, y'all don't even understand.
According to them, they stayed disciplined to what they wanted to do. And discipline and Jerry Jones aren't usually two things that go together when we're thinking about the draft time.
I guess it's ironic that, you know, we're playing the Evil Empire music about the Cowboys since it is May 4th. And listen, I love Star Wars. Don't say May the 4th be with you today.
Yeah, don't
say that.
I'm not a Star Wars fan.
I know. Alan had the Yoda mask on this morning. It was a whole thing. Anyway.
I'm a Trekkie anyway. I like Captain Kirk. Captain Kirk was a G. He got all the ladies.
ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance, with insurance for cars, homes, boats, motorcycles, RVs, and commercial vehicles. 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and progressive.com. One of the big stories of the day, Quinnen Williams of the Jets breaking his foot. We'll ask Joe Douglas about that at the top of next hour. Right now, we welcome in the great Mel Kiper Jr.
Uncle Mel, what's up, man? Congratulations on a successful draft. Oh, man, that was great, man. You put on a show. You put on a show, and I saw Greeny running out of there and left you by yourself. Like, why didn't Greeny stick it out with you, man?
I tell you, it's hard, Bart. Day three is a challenge. You know, it's a late night Tuesday on day two, and you come back on Saturday morning ready to roll. But day three went fast. There were a lot of good players that went undrafted, and Bart, you could appreciate that. A lot of guys that don't get picked are going to end up playing in the National Football League. And I have a list now. I think it was like 25 guys that I thought could have been drafted, should have been drafted, that weren't drafted. So it's going to be fun to see how these guys do once training camp opens.
Mel, how much did the medicals play in a lot of players dropping? How uncomfortable were teams in pulling the trigger on guys that had obvious talent?
Great question. That's the big thing that went into this draft with the COVID year, with no combine, medicals that weren't coming in properly, or reports that weren't done, follow-ups that weren't done. I think teams were reluctant to go for players that had an issue, and we saw that with some guys that say, well, why did they drop? What happened? Why did they slide? It was normally because of a medical, and that's what I think played a large part. Had we had a normal year with rechecks and this and a regular combine and regular medical rejects and all the things that went on that normally led to you having maximum information on a player that didn't occur this year, certainly affected players. It would have gone probably, in some cases, 20 to 25 picks higher, ended up slipping into the second round. Some slipped a little later than that. So it definitely impacted a lot of players in this draft.
Mel Kiper Jr., ESPN's draft analyst, joining us right now via the Goodyear hotline. Mel, story of the day continues to surround Aaron Rodgers. I'm wondering, based on next year's draft and how everyone has talked about how valuable those picks are, what a package would be commensurate out of next year's draft picks that could actually get somebody like Aaron Rodgers at this point in his career?
Yeah, the combination of players and draft picks, Chris. It's amazing that we're talking about Aaron Rodgers, you know, being in a position where he wants out. And Jordan Love, is he ready? How do they feel about him? Nobody knows what Jordan Love has been doing more than the Green Bay Packers do. To be in a division now, that's ever-changing with Justin Fields now in Chicago. If the Bears hit with Justin, then they're ahead of the game. If Aaron moves on and you got Goff with the Lions, you got Cousins with Minnesota, all of a sudden the Bears could have the best quarterback situation in the division if Justin is as good as I think he can be. So things are changing in that division. And for Aaron, I don't know what the draft choices would be in terms of compensation. I don't know as far as players, depending upon what team. A lot of people have been talking about the Denver Broncos. If Drew Locke doesn't, they feel they've always wanted to get competition for Drew. They brought in Teddy Bridgewater. There was talk about Stafford and Darnold. There was talk about drafting one. They didn't. I guess they felt good enough with Drew and with Bridgewater to go forward. But if you can get an Aaron Rodgers all of a sudden in a division with Justin Herbert and Patrick Mahomes and Derek Carr, then, and you're the fourth best team in the division from a quarterback standpoint, you can certainly not go to the top, because Mahomes is still a great quarterback, but you'd be right there with Mahomes with Aaron, and you'd be ahead of where a lot of the other teams in the NFL are. This guy was the MVP of the league. So to me, if you can do that, Denver did it with Peyton Manning. John Elway won two Super Bowls at the end of his career in Denver, and Peyton did it there as well. So if you can get an Aaron Rodgers in your Denver, I guess you figure out any way possible to do it.
Mel, you mentioned Jordan Love, and we don't know where he is. The Packers do right now. Refresh everybody's memory, your thoughts on Jordan Love last year when they took him.
I was the fourth best quarterback, behind the big three, which was Burrow, Tua, Herbert, and then Love. Now, some had Love ahead of Herbert, but Love was a highly regarded quarterback. He slipped a little further than a lot of people thought. I thought he could go mid-first. He went 26. They traded up to get him. I think it was a good move. The problem wasn't the move, guys. The problem was a lack of communication. Somehow, this relationship isn't what it should be. And that's in the organization. You can't treat one like 53. Jimmy Johnson always said, hey, I'm not going to treat Troy Aikman or Emmitt Smith or whoever it may be, differently or the same as I'm going to treat the player that made the roster at the end of the line. You know, it's not going to happen. So, you have to treat your quarterback, your franchise, and you have to understand who he is, what makes him happy, what doesn't, and work to make sure everything is communicated to him, everything is smoothly done. And this certainly was not the case. And to come out now and start saying all these great things, well, you can draft a quarterback, doesn't mean they drafted Aaron when they had Brett. They drafted Brian Brohm when they had Brett and Aaron. So they've done this in their past. That's the way they do it. That doesn't mean, hey, just because somebody's brought in doesn't mean you turn it out your position over. That guy's only going to get the job when I'm not good enough anymore, and that's going to be for a while. So we always thought Aaron would be motivated by this and never let Jordan Love play, but the fact that he wants out and doesn't want to play another snap, take another snap in Green Bay, that to me, that's on the organization for not communicating properly with their franchise quarterback.
Hey, Mel, you're a Ravens fan, and you're a proud one. When you look at what the Cleveland Browns did, does it seem like they built their team, or they're building their team, and they built their draft board to be able to compete with the Baltimore Ravens and be able to attack Lamar Jackson in space with some of the athletes that they chose?
Yeah, I agree, Bart. I think with Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah and the way he flies around the field, obviously there was the medical with Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah, which is the reason why he dropped to 52. Greg Newsom II, there were some durability concerns with him. He dropped to 26. I thought he could go in the 15 to 22 range. So that allowed them to get these guys, provided they're good to go and everything. They can play to the level of their talent, stay on the field. That's great. I think certainly Tommy Togiai, plugger inside. Tony Fields flies around the field. He's a guy, not big, but really fast to the football. And Richard LeCount certainly is a safety. Doesn't run well, but he plays faster, and he's very instinctive. So, yeah, the defensive players they got certainly will help, provided they can stay on the field for the long NFL season. They definitely do help match up with some of the quarterbacks that are mobile, particularly a guy like Lamar Jackson within the division.
Mel Kiper Jr. with us on the Goodyear Hotline. Mel, we got about 30 seconds left. We've heard you talk about who had a great weekend. Mel, who had an awful weekend?
Nobody. I can say, safe to say, and I've given D's and F's and D minuses and D pluses and C. Yeah. Didn't give any of those. And that's just because I'm a nice guy, which I hope I am. I think you look at it, I don't grade these things trying to be nice or trying to have a vendetta or trying to be mean. I just grade them based on my ratings, and that's what I did. And I came up with nothing worse than a C+, if you can believe that. First time in my history I've ever had nothing worse than a C+.
That's amazing.
Way to grade on a curve, Mel, because listen, the Raiders, they lucked up, because if they would have picked Leatherwood, like the fact that they were able to get the number one safety on the board,
right,
saved that draft, because Leatherwood was the reach of the first round. It's always the Raiders. It's always the Raiders with the reach of the first round. Whether you want to go back to Colin Farrell, you want to go back to Ruggs last year, and now they
Same
did it again.
Net.
Yes,
yeah.
But they figured it out. So,
yeah, no,
okay.
No question.
Even
they,
a blind squirrel gets a nut, man.
I'll give Mayock and Gruden credit. They did rebound after their reach. They did rebound.
Mel, get some rest. God knows you've earned it.
Big board for next week, going out in a couple weeks, guys. First big board for next year's draft. Ready to roll soon.
Right back at it. Mel Kiper Jr. joining us via the
pumpkin
Goodyear
pie.
Hotline. Eating
Great
the pumpkin
job.
Pie every morning. Thanks,
I will. Always. See you
Appreciate
guys.
It. Awesome stuff with Mel, as usual. Up next, so much more goes into the success of a team offensively in Major League Baseball. But when you're not getting it done, somebody's got to pay the price. And somebody has. We'll tell you who next. Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Bart and Han.
All day we're going to be hearing the Star Wars. And listen, I love Star Wars. I'm not Han, but yeah. I love Star Wars.
See, I told you before, I'm more of a Star Wars, Star Trek
Star Trek people. Guy because of Kirk.
Yeah, I just wonder how many different species did he hook up with? Does he love? You know I had to go there.
Yeah. Kirk, you know what else wasn't a coincidence? Yeah. It was in half the episodes, Kirk's shirt was off.
Yeah, you always knew who was going to die because he'd be like Scotty, he'd be like Spock, and it'd be some other dude. Like, yeah, he definitely died. He definitely about to get his head shot with the ray gun. He going to evaporate.
Barton Hahn coming to you live from the Seaport District at Pier 17, brought to you by Chase. And ESPN Radio is always presented by Progressive Insurance. And all guests join us via the Goodyear Hotline. Top of the hour, Jets GM Joe Douglas is going to join us with the very latest on the injury to Quinnen Williams, who apparently broke his foot. We'll get into that in just a few minutes. But, Bart, today, it might be May the 4th, but any day, it's a day for doing. And it's time for Francisco Lindor to get it done from the Mets. And it's brought to you by the Home Depot. With everything you need to do projects smarter, faster, and easier. Welcome to today's Home Depot, how doers get more done. Francisco Lindor is hitless in his last five games. He's hitting 160. And last night after the Mets lost 6-5 to the Cardinals, they fired their hitting coach, Chili Davis, their hitting staff, later on in the night. And
collateral damage.
Man. Chili got the axe. So the guy that's getting paid $341 million, you can't fire him.
Exactly.
And look, the rest of the offense has not performed. But Lindor in particular, Bart,
right?
He just looks so lost at the plate. Doesn't know what he's doing. He's not getting, I don't want to get too technical, but he's not getting the barrel anywhere near the ball. And I don't think it's a come to New York thing. What troubles me more is this looks like the Lindor that was hitting last year in the shortened season, and he's just chalked it up to that. He didn't play very well last season. He doesn't look good right now, and the Mets shake it up by firing the hitting coach, which I just think is the most pointless thing to ever do.
That never works, man.
It's one thing if it's the pitching coach.
Right. Yeah, you can't blame the hitting on the hitting coach. I mean, he's trying to do his best, have guys be disciplined. I don't know if Lindor's trying to do too much because of the expectations. The people say, oh, I can handle the expectations. But how many people have we seen come to New York and struggle with the expectations because whether they say it or not, they're a little bit nervous. And it seems like he's trying to exceed expectations. We saw Pete Alonso last year struggle after having a tremendous year at the beginning. You know, I don't know if it's pitching better this year. I mean, I know they have the laces, right? So they unjuice the ball, supposedly, right? Mm-hmm. And they put the seams back up. So guys are going to have more movement because they can feel the ball a little better. So maybe pitching is just up right now and people are adjusting to the way and the movement that these pitchers have because of the new seams on the ball. So I don't know what it is, but they have to figure it out.
This is not firing an offensive coordinator in football in the middle of the season. This is firing a guy that doesn't have a huge impact on the lineup, on the guys who are not getting it done. Best thing you can do is work with them. But at least with a pitching coach, you can see where the difference can be made. You just don't see it here. I feel bad for Chili Davis in this instance, but this has a whole lot more to do with the guys who are making a lot more money than anything else. Well, Barton Hahn, as always, brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. We have so much more coming your way in terms of the news of the day, including Quinnen Williams of the Jets, their star defensive tackle, breaking his foot. We'll talk about that in just moments, find out how it happened, and when exactly did the Jets fall in love with Zach Wilson? Joe Douglas, their GM, joins us next. Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Barton Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN Plus. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.